magic, the darkest magic. My soul swims in it, scattered across time.
Welcome to the Six Demon Bag 2017 Halloween Spooktacular.
This is your host number one, Diane Ryan.
I'm creepy Elliot McMillan.
This is your host with the most, Evil Dead Erdelak.
I'm Drew the Mortician Weary.
I'm Jeff O'Lantern. This Six Demon Halloween bag is, don't look inside, is full of topics and candy. You will draw one of each randomly and let us know.
Best and worst Halloween was Snickers Almond Fun.
All right.
I don't think anybody can top Ryan's worst Halloween or best Halloween.
I don't know to which you refer.
Which was the one where you were Frankenstein and drunk and throwing up?
That was Jeff as Frankenstein.
No, that was me.
Who was throwing up?
That well, both me. Of us.
So who was drunk?
Shall we set the scene?
Yes.
One of our
Valentine's Day, 1984.
One of our dearly departed, moved to San Francisco, friends, was throwing a Halloween party. There was beer. There was kegs.
There was no food.
No food. I forgot that part.
Yeah.
It was very spooky. There was ladies. There was gentlemen. I saw some boobs that night. I also tried to drunkenly hit on a girl dressed like a ghost, but she told me she had a boyfriend, only to make out with the host's brother several minutes later,
really?
In full view of myself.
Maybe that was her boyfriend.
Oh, I was just... No, it wasn't. Oh. Our friend Greg showed up in full costume, and I could barely see at that point, but somehow we all still knew it was Greg, because he was gigantic.
Yeah.
And so he was walking me around, like, trying to get me not to die from alcohol poisoning, which was very kind. But yeah, puked all over the place, on the way to IHOP, in the IHOP bathroom, in my hands, on the way to the IHOP bathroom, et cetera, and so forth. And then, Jeff, take it away.
I was in full Frankenstein regalia with green face paint, and we got back to Ryan's place, and I filled his sink with vomit, but the sink wouldn't drain, so I had to transfer it to the toilet a hand scoop at a time. And Ryan didn't even know the next day because I did such a good job of cleaning up.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And then I just passed out face down on his white carpet, leaving a green stain from my face.
I did have to clean up the green
you
stain
had,
the
did
next
have to
day.
Clean
Hopefully
that
up. It was just makeup.
What's your best or worst Halloween?
Well, I was hanging out with Jeff and Ryan.
Boy, that must be interesting. It never happens to me.
Nope.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything.
I always call you and say, hey, we're doing this. Like, no, I'm going to go trick-or-treating with the kids.
No, yeah, to be fair, my Halloween
is over at like,
oh, like
7 o'clock.
Star Wars Cantina?
Yeah, well, that's true. No, to be fair, my
spectacular concert.
My Halloweens are always with my kids lately. We go to Joe Peep's Pizza afterwards, and I'm pretty much full of candy and pizza by 10:30. I don't feel like going anywhere. So
sounds pretty good.
Yeah, go ahead, Drew. Sorry.
And we were gonna go have this zombie walk, and so Jeff was dressed up as a zombie. Ryan was a battle damaged Power Ranger, and I was dressed like Darth Vader from the Wild West, and you know, it was a pretty cool evening. I mean, I would definitely say that things were, it was just from girls walking up to Ryan to take pictures of him with his Power Rangers outfit to me, kind of just, it was, I don't remember the night too well because I did drink a lot. But one thing I do remember, which had to be the highlight of the night, was when we made it to Wakano's.
Oh, Jesus.
And got caught in the drenching rain while they wouldn't downpour. Open the doors.
There was someone had an umbrella, and a bunch of people started squeezing together to get underneath that umbrella.
That was me.
And you know, it was you know, there were quite a few cute chicks that were also just pressing up to get under the umbrella. So that was also pretty fun.
You cad.
Guys, Halloween's more than just...
It's mostly boobs. I don't want to prolong this topic any further. However, here I go. We get to the volcano. They close the doors because it was at capacity. And it starts pouring down rain. So everyone rushes the doors. And the bouncers are going, "Stay back! Stay back!" And nobody can get in. Everyone's getting poured on. Everyone's getting crushed against the door. Finally, they just open the doors because everyone was like trampling everyone else. We all get in.
I shake out my umbrella.
Jeff comfortably walks in all nice and dry. We get some hard alcohol drinks. At some point, I met this really cute girl. I'm not going to get into it, but it connects with the rain. I met this really cute girl, and I was talking to her, and I had my zombie mask on. So at some point, she goes, "Stop! I can't talk to you. Right, with that mask on, take it off." So I take off my mask.
And she was like, "Ah!"
No, I take off my mask and I spray her with water because I was drenched. Yeah. And she was like, "Oh my God." And I was like, I swear, it's just rain. Don't worry.
You should have seen this as it happened in slow motion. Yeah, basically, I had a lot of fun tonight. That was probably the best Halloween I had ever had.
And I brought an umbrella. Ka-ching.
So I didn't need one because I got to... Because
a brave man likes to feel the nature on his face.
Mm-hmm. The smart man has enough sense getting out of the rain. Got one of the freaking Snickers almonds again. Was there nothing else in there but Snickers almonds?
I better get a Snickers almond.
I want a regular Snickers.
Well,
ooh, a piece of candy.
Best worst Halloween specials.
I love The Last Halloween.
The Last Halloween? What's The Last Halloween?
The Last Halloween was a TV Halloween special from the 80s or early 90s. And it was one of the first like CG things, I think. So there was these aliens that came down. Aliens from Mars who came down because Mars ran out of candy. Which they called Kubi.
I'm not liking it so far.
And two young kids, their town was going under because Rhea Perlman drained the lake to like do experiments on bugs and like mutate them and stuff. And also Bull from Night Court was in it. He was like the henchman.
Richard Mull.
He's always the henchman. So the aliens, you know, gathered up, basically stole all the candy from this town, which is kind of a dick move, but... In return, they gave the kids a magic wishing stone, which allowed them to refill the lake, which allowed them to restart the candy factory. So it all evened out in the end.
And this is your worst list.
No, that's a great special. One. That was a great one.
Jesus.
I remember back when every show had a Halloween episode.
Do they do that anymore?
I don't know if they do it anymore,
So nobody watches a show when it comes on now, so you'd be watching
a good point.
The Halloween show on New Year's Eve.
But I was so starved for Halloween goodness and spookiness that I was extra excited when there'd be a ghost on Night Court, there was an episode of MacGyver that was really spooky, and there was a vampire on Quantum Leap once.
Highway to Heaven once, Michael Landon... reprised his role as the teenage werewolf on a Halloween episode. And it was badass. I was so excited because when I was a kid, I was a teenage werewolf for Halloween one time. I wore like a Letterman's jacket and stuff and a werewolf costume, and it was awesome. I used to look forward to the Roseanne Halloween specials, remember? Because they always had these awesome costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. I can't think of a single one now. But like they Roseanne and Dan. John Goodman. Yeah, Dan would always have, like, awesome costumes.
There was a... You know, aside from, like, themed episodes of existing shows, there were always specials, like Last Halloween, or, like, one of my personal favorites, the Ray Bradbury Halloween Tree.
Yeah, Halloween Tree.
And they would come on every year, or some of them didn't come on every year, but they, you know, came on often enough.
You had to catch them.
And then I remember... Yeah, you had to catch them, because we didn't have DVRs and stuff back then. I guess you had VCRs, but you still didn't know.
You had to, like, scour the TV guide.
I remember there being a point where they just kind of stopped being on. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they just got too old.
On Halloween.
Or maybe, I don't know what it was, but it's like, And then starvation for Halloween really, like, set in because you couldn't get your Halloween specials anymore. And then you buy them. I bought all of the ones I loved, basically. Or you could download, like, the rare ones. But it's not the same as catching it on TV.
I remember as a kid, I would just get really excited whenever I'd hear that jingle for the CBS special. And then you'd have the Charlie Brown Christmas special come on or something.
At Halloween?
I mean, not Christmas special, Halloween.
Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
I liked Garfield's Halloween. That was a good one.
Garfield's Halloween is great.
Garfield would dress as a pirate. It was a pirate-themed Halloween episode, too, because there were ghost pirates and stuff, and there was like 100-and-something, 104-year-old pirate boy. Pirate cabin boy that was like guarding a treasure that ghost pirates were coming for, and it was freaking good. Worst Halloween specials, though? Yeah. Did we talk about any of the worst Halloween specials?
Anything Ryan likes. But I still believe, still believe, through the
cold, through the heat. Then I got best worst candy.
Perfect.
So, worst candy, Boston baked beans.
I thought you said the best.
No.
The best and the worst candy.
Anything licorice flavored.
The best and worst candy are the same thing. It's candy corn.
Oh.
Because while I love them, I also hate them.
They are a blessing and a curse.
I don't love them because my uncle tried to get me to try them when I was a kid, and he told me they were mini cheeseburgers because I love cheeseburgers. And so like I tasted one expecting a cheeseburger, and it was fucking candy corn.
That's
awful.
A whip snap right there.
Oh, it was terrible.
Leaning into a nice cheeseburger taste and getting candy corn.
I had to rinse my mouth out.
It's kind of like when I mix Skittles and M&M's in a candy dish and just watch to see what happens.
S&M's.
Oh, yeah. That's like the electric Kool-Aid acid test or something. I hated wax lips. Those were terrible.
Oh, yeah, those were awful.
I like chewing on them.
I kind of liked... Because you always got one or two pairs of wax lips, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with these? Well, I guess I'll just walk around with it in my mouth.
At least the bottles had juice inside,
and
you could chew the wax.
Wax lips insist on themselves. You've got to sit there and nurse that motherfucker all night. You can't get rid of it.
You just drool all over yourself.
Yeah, if you've got a costume on, it Fs up your costume. No, wax lips are bad.
I remember the bubblegum cigarettes, where if you puff on them, there's like
cigars. Yeah, those are good.
Cigarettes were awesome.
You know what my kids do get, though, that I don't understand is those pixie sticks. Ugh.
You don't understand pixie
those
sticks?
Are foul,
you've
man.
You've
got to
be a little kid who can turn their sugar into blood.
Or me, I guess.
And vice versa.
Kid cocaine. It's just like a powder and it comes out and you just suck it up. And
I liked those as a kid.
They
I tried
to have like the four
the giant
tall,
ones.
Giant
the only problem with the giant ones is they would always get like a little spit plug at the top. So you'd have to like chew off the spit plug to get any more of
the
dry.
Mucus plug.
Also diabetes.
that too, I guess. But
I loved those as a kid. I tried eating them as an adult and it just wasn't happening anymore.
No.
Pop Rocks, too. That's another one.
Pop Rocks are good.
Jeff, you and me went to the hayride, the haunted hayride, and they had a trick-or-treat section, and they were giving out sour gummy straws.
Sour gummy straws.
But that's all they were giving out at every door.
They were sponsored by sour gummy straws.
I guess that's why, yeah. So there were like 10 doors you could trick-or-treat at, and they all gave out sour gummy straws. So at the end of the night, I had a fistful of like 30 sour gummy straws.
So gross.
And I was just eating them for days after. I couldn't let them go to waste.
You could let yourself go to waste.
Well, hey, look at me. I'm svelte as hell.
Hi, Koo. Yeah.
I guess
pretty much anything made out of chocolate is going to be gone.
If Three Musketeers.
Chocolate
you
covered
rarely
ants?
Get Three Musketeers. That's like a
I mean,
gold
unless
bar.
It has caramel in it, if it's made out of chocolate, it's not going to last very long.
Give me an Almond Joy any day.
My wife eats those.
Your wife's awesome.
She's a woman. Just kidding. No, she actually is.
Oh, it's my turn. Yeah. Reaching in for the candy. Okay, I feel a box. I don't want that.
Don't get the box.
I feel...
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Regular Snickers. Yeah, it really satisfies.
It sure does.
Yay.
Brought to you by Snickers.
None of that
brought to you by the Mars Corporation.
None of that almond shite.
And the topic is, my friends, haunted doll story.
Okay. So I don't know if you guys... are aware of the bizarre phenomenon on eBay of buying and selling haunted dolls.
I am only because you told me about this once.
Okay. So I found out about this, and I was like, what's going on with these haunted dolls on eBay? And so I started looking at some of these listings. So I thought it was funny. And when I looked at it, I was like, wow, these stories are really bad. It's like they're written by illiterates.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mostly driven by keywords and some strange combination of, like, Blumhouse film, scary doll, you know.
Spaghetti spooks.
Spaghetti spooks. So I'm going to read you an example of one I just pulled up today. Haunted doll spirit vessel, very active, experienced only. Abby is one of my haunted dolls that I have had for a while. I am a empath. I can feel the doll's energies and emotions. I must rehome her. Abby is one of my international spirit dolls. She is British. She passed away at 23 years old, serving in the British Armed Forces.
What?
Suspect.
That is highly suspect. She is a positive spirit. She is a leader among my other dolls in my international room for dolls. She communicates by vibrations, emotions, and pendulum. So I read that and I thought, I'm a writer. I can write a better horror story in that amount of time. And so I was like, okay. Operation Haunted Doll is a go. I went to a thrift shop. I looked at their creepiest and cheapest dolls. And I found one for $5 or $6.
Creepiest and cheapiest.
Creepiest and cheapiest. I took some spooky photos of it. I had a little, like, photo shoot where I had, like, a laser pointer. I was shooting in its eyes, like, trying to get its eyes to glow red, but not too red, and try to make it creepy. And so it was a challenge to write a self-contained horror story that was short, but also really bad and clumsy in the fashion.
So it seems like real. Yeah,
so
like
it seemed like
a real.
Person
wrote
it. And
not some fucking writer.
Part of the description was that this doll had been returned several times because every time I sold it, people would send it back to me. And I had one person reach out and they're like, why was the doll sent back last time? I was like, oh, they said they got facial paralysis after the doll arrived. And that person... Yeah, no more bids from that person.
Oh, I think you went too far.
But you know, I was keeping it in universe. I was developing the canon, and eventually I sold the doll for some paltry amount. But because it was cheap, and because the pro rates and semi pro rates for writers breaks down to like 6 cents a word, 4 cents a word, 1 cent a word, I actually did get like a semi pro sale out of it. So that is my haunted doll story. All right, the candy is a Snickers peanut butter.
Oh.
That's what I got.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Can I trade you an empty Snickers wrapper for...
A Snickers peanut butter? I didn't know there was such a thing.
And the topic is scariest moment.
Oh, yeah. So scariest moment is like a time when you were truly terrified. I guess it doesn't have to be Halloween, but it's preferable that it was a Halloween moment. So my scariest Halloween moment was... I was a youngish, maybe
24, 25.
Yeah, I want to say 8 or 9, but I really can't remember. It was a long time ago. We went to this, back home in Massachusetts, we went to this haunted hayride, and we had to wait in line, but it was a cool line. Like, it was on a lake, and they were projecting old Frankenstein movie, black and white Frankensteins, on a big screen, and you could go inside a coffin and take your picture, and... It was just kind of fun. They did it upright. And so...
Did they drain the lake to do experiments on bugs?
I mean, they could have at some point in their history, but not for the hayride. So we get on the hayride, and it was really dark. And it was... They just... You know, to my child's mind, they really just did a great job on this hayride. There were all kinds of really amazing set pieces and really cool production design. I wish I could still get this, but when I was a kid in the dark, I don't know if any of you ever experienced this sort of just like crushing claustrophobic terror of just like the darkness kind of closing in on you, yeah. Almost like it has a sound, mm-hmm. like a roaring, rushing sound. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it feels like. And so we were in the hayride, and it was just like the darkness was crushing down on me. I was terrified because I didn't know what would come out and when. And all of a sudden, I looked to my left, and there was a guy right in my face, and he was all painted up in this demon face paint. And the way that the light was hitting his face made him just look completely otherworldly. Like, he didn't look like a guy with face paint on, you know? He looked like a monster, and he was like, he shouted something, and I remember just like rearing back and just being like so terrified that I just like clenched down, and it was awesome.
And he never I've never
approached a scare that great or well choreographed in a scare in a haunt since.
Like, the scariest moment I ever had was probably walking into my walking into my dad watching The Exorcist at my aunt's house. I don't know, I was really too young for The Exorcist, 6, 5, something like that, I don't know. And we were at my aunt's house, and my dad was watching TV with the lights off. And I came in the living room, and just as Regan's, it was that scene in The Daylight where she's in the bedroom and all the furniture's flying around, and her head turns around. And she, like, leers, and she says, like, look what your goddamn daughter did, or something like that. And so, like, I walked right in at that moment when her head turned. So her head turned and, like, looked at me, basically. So I turned and looked at my dad, and my dad was sitting on the couch, and he turned his head towards me and just kind of raised his eyebrows or something. And there was just the light of the television on his face. So he was, like, all crazy looking and, like, leering and everything, just like she was. And I screamed, like a banshee, and just like scurried out of the room and ran under the kitchen table, and my great aunt had to come and like move all the chairs, pull me out because I wouldn't come out. It was pretty terrifying as a kid. And I didn't watch any horror movies until I was in high school because of that movie.
I just remembered my scariest moment. So I peed a little on your couch. I apologize.
It's not the worst thing that's happened to it.
The worst thing was me peeing on it.
Oh, yeah.
So the joy of having older brothers and sisters is that you are exposed to inappropriate things at a tender age.
Not when I'm your older brother. I'm so lame.
So we were all watching horror movies with my older brother and my two sisters. And we were watching Nightmare on Elm Street. And I must have been very young, like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11. And Nightmare on Elm Street was, like, high-octane horror for me. So in the movie, Freddy Krueger is dragging his finger knives on things and making this horrible squeaky squeal. And it's at night, it's dark in the room. Everything's illuminated by the flash of the TV. My mind's getting blown by Nightmare on Elm Street. And all of a sudden we hear this outside the window. And my brother pauses the VCR and we hear it again. It's definitely coming from outside the sliding glass door on the side yard. But there's this porch there that like has no stairs. It's almost like a perfunctory add-on porch. It's not a porch we ever went onto. And to get onto it, you would have to like come out of the woods and climb over the railing. Mm-hmm. And all you could do would be to stand directly against our sliding glass window. Mm-hmm. And we're all like, what was that? And my brother goes, well, go open the door, go check. And I'm like, oh, okay, because I kind of had to do whatever he told me to do because he was my older brother. Mm-hmm. And I went and I pulled back the curtains, and I'm positive it was going to be Freddy Krueger. And it was his girlfriend who was
Freddy Krueger's girlfriend?
Yes. Oh. Bastard son of 100 maniacs. No, it was his girlfriend, now wife. And she just knew that we were watching TV. And so she, like, hopped the fence to get on the side porch.
Just screw with you guys?
No. She wasn't trying to be scary at all, and my brother didn't know that she was coming over. I was completely terrified. I was so traumatized, in fact, that I would never lean back in a deep, comfy chair because I knew that Freddy's arms could jut out and pull me in. And for months, if not years, when I would turn off the light before I would get into bed, I had to cross like 3 feet of shag carpeting, but I knew that Freddy could like pull me down inside, and I knew he could do it if the lights were off. So I would stand in my doorway, cut the light off, and then jump over the shag carpeting and land into bed. And I probably like fucked up that mattress 10 ways from Sunday.
So a couple of nights ago, it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, I got up to use the restroom, and I was in there, and just very faintly I heard someone go like, rah, 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 rah. And it was so clear, and I was so sleepy, that I thought for just a split second, holy shit, is someone in my apartment?
At the foot of your bed or something?
Yeah. Well, I was in the bathroom at the time, so I like hastily finished up and I like checked all the rooms, and I was like, wow, that's just silly. It's probably just a hobo directly outside my apartment creeping around at 4 in the morning, which is still spooky, but not as spooky as someone who has broken into your apartment. But it put me in that like frame of mind. Like I got like, you know, I was like
tense.
And like I went back to bed and kind of like pulled the covers up, and I thought to myself, now that is how. Because, like, I had just gone to see It a couple days earlier, and I was, like, so disappointed because nothing in that movie was eerie or, like, put you in that, like... nothing gave me chills the way, like, The Sixth Sense did, like, way back in the day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or ASMR.
Or horror, especially. And I was like, well, that's what you gotta do. Like, you know, invade the safe spaces and stuff, which they didn't do. But anyway, it was real creepy.
So...
And awesome.
About a year and a half ago, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hear three clear knocks on my door. Just like that.
You don't want that.
And I seriously almost shat. And I sat up, and I'm sure I was doing the thing where you have the blanket, you have it pulled up like this. And I didn't say anything. I said, if I answer, then...
There's going to be a give me my toe back situation.
And... Scary, so I just kind of sat there and I thought, well, maybe it's my sister. And if it's her, she'll knock again.
If it's her, she's at the mercy of the hobos.
And I never found out who it was, what it was. She didn't hear anything.
Were there any poos on your doorstep the next morning?
No, this was my bedroom door. This wasn't the outside. This was my bedroom.
Shit. Oh, shit. Like your inner door.
Yeah, tell us that part. Yeah, well, whatever it was.
Way creepier.
Inside the house.
How old is your house? 100 years?
I don't know. No, nothing in L.A.
Oh, right. And it's
like
not
1950s or something?
Probably
1960s?
Like, yeah, the late 40s, early 50s when they built everything in that neighborhood. So, yeah, I was pretty scared.
Yeah. See, that's awesome. That's totally spooky.
See, that reminds me of a fun story that
Holy
a coworker told me where he said when he was a kid, a woman was banging on their door and screaming.
No, that was Drew's story from a couple episodes ago.
A woman was banging on the door and screaming, saying that she needed help, and his father was a police officer. So he rushed to the door and unlocked the door, threw it open, and there was a woman standing there drenched in blood.
Holy fuck.
She had been, like, knifed. So the father, like, took her in the car, you know, brought her to the hospital. And he said he remembered going outside the next morning and there was a trail of blood going door to door down the street of every door that she had knocked on.
Wow.
Screaming and begging for help, and no one would let her in.
I mean, that's a serious question. Would you or wouldn't you? But that's, you know, almost unanswerable until it actually happens.
If you're a cop, you just...
Yeah. But what if he had been knifed? I guess he would have done it in the line of duty, or being a good Samaritan.
Oh, I would have answered the door. That's terrible.
Sure, you say that.
No, it's terrible.
I'm going to knock on your door at 4 a.m. when you least expect it and scream and see what happens. I get
well, you get white
boiling
carpets.
Oil poured on me.
I can understand not wanting to let someone in mess up your white carpets.
I think that's a wrap on that topic.
Hmm.
I haven't really been scared. Besides the three guns that I've had pointed at me.
Wait.
Trials of Terror.
Hey, it's actually
Trails of Terror.
Trails of Terror, what's that?
Trails of Terror is the haunted I can't call it a haunted house. I can't call it a haunted hayride. It was a haunted
road.
It was a haunted.
It was a real trail of terror.
It was a trail. It was a haunted walk through the spooky woods by the spooky lake in rural Massachusetts, where I worked for many years and had the most amazing time, both as a monster and as a tour guide. I don't know what to talk about in you know.
I would say just pick your one best story.
Oh, one best story. Oh, well, here's a good one involving boobs. I started as a scarer, and then there was one night where somebody came to my zone, and they were like, we need tour guides. Who can do it? And I, you know, was never really one to step up to a challenge back in those days. So I was a really shy kid, but I was like, I can do it. Like, something about working at the Trails of Terror just energized me to no end and made me confident. So they were like, do you know the story? And then, like, I rattled off the whole story and, you know, said where the scares were going to happen and what I needed to do when, blah, blah, blah. And so I got to be a tour guide, which was awesome because I got to go through the haunt over and over again. And you'd think that would be boring, but for me, it was not. It was very exciting. And so there was one night where a couple of kids from my class showed up, and two of them were these really good-looking girls that I had huge crushes on at one time or another. And so I was taking them through, and I was telling them the story, and, you know, we're getting the scares. And at the very end, of course, there's a chainsaw scare. Mm-hmm. So we're, like, going through this corridor, and, like, they fire up the chainsaw, and both of the girls grabbed my arm, like, grabbed me on either side, pressed up tight, and we're, like, running.
And used you as a human shield?
No, no. I was their guide. I was the protector. I was strong.
You were the white knight. Huh?
I was. I was. It was a shining moment. I'll wait till the end of time for you like everybody else.
Yeah, baby.
Damn it. There's not going to be any left by the time that bag gets to me.
I cheated. Decoration etiquette. What's the earliest you can put up Halloween decorations and how long before you take them down?
I'm going to say
the day after Arbor Day.
Yeah. Early September, you can start putting up decorations.
Early September? No way.
If
mid-September?
No. October 1st.
No.
October 1st.
Yeah.
No.
Then you don't get to enjoy them.
If you're going to do a really elaborate thing that takes, you know, weeks and weeks to build up, then you can't just have it for the, you know, ready for the last week of October. You want it ready for all October.
Speaking of which, Jeff, you just moved into a new house this weekend. Have you started decorating yet?
I have detailed files, as the Terminator would say. And I have, you know, like, it sketched out what I'm going to do. But considering we still don't have shower curtains yet, I don't think my wife would really appreciate
should not
the fact
be
that
your
I'm going to go
whole hog.
Okay, I bought one thing at Home Depot today, a ghost projector.
Good. Thank you.
While I also bought shower curtain liners.
I hope you bought the projector first. I put it on the belt first.
Yes.
And cheaped out on the liners so that you could get a better ghost projector.
I still say October 1st.
Best, worst costume. My mother always kind of had kind of a stink eye about all the masks were white.
Oh, all the characters
were
white,
unfortunately. Yeah, so like I was an astronaut, and I kind of didn't get it. The astronaut was the best one, because it kind of looked like an astronaut thing. It didn't have like a picture of Neil Armstrong.
The guy on the moon, yeah.
And but the astronaut face was white, and my little, you know, black kid eyes peering from behind the eye.
It had a face? It wasn't just like a space helmet?
No, you know those half of
that. Yeah, those plastic ones with the string through them that go around the back.
But, well, yeah.
And I liked it, but I realized later that, yeah, she was kind of giving that thing the what's what. Because
they should have made it just a helmet. It could have been all-inclusive.
They didn't give a shit about inclusion in those days. About diversity. Maybe the black kids would like to have a black astronaut. Nobody gives a shit about that.
Yeah.
A black astronaut. Black What? Where? When?
What is this, Halloween or joke day?
Yeah, I agree that those are the worst costumes, the ones with the picture of the guy. Because, like, I used to instruct my parents,
those.
Don't get me the underoos that have the freaking pictures of Superman on them. I want the Superman emblem. I want the fucking Aquaman little A. I don't want a picture of Robin on my chest. That
Our
sucks.
Choices were so limited back then, though.
Yeah, now it's like,
now the costumes are awesome. They have muscles in them.
Yeah. Now you get to spend 4 years making your own costume.
I got a sweater that makes me look like Captain Marvel. It does, guys, it does. I look like Captain Marvel.
You look
Marvel.
Like Captain Marvel all the time, man.
You look like Captain Marvel in a sweater. It's true.
My best costume I ever had, I wanted to be a sand person from Star Wars. So, like, my whole family, like, pulled together to do this. My cousin could do paper mache. So she got down in the basement with my mom, and she inflated a balloon, and she made this, like, Tusken Raider mask out of, like, because there was no such thing as a Tusken Raider mask back then. So they made a sand person head out of, like, paper mache. And they then they wrapped gauze around it, and they painted the silver bits sticking out for the metal and all this. I had a potato sack, like, robe and everything. My dad collected all this World War II memorabilia and stuff, so I had an actual bandolier and shit and everything. And then the best part of the costume, though, was my dad also used to be a welder, so he made me an actual gaffy stick out of, like, metal pieces that he had around the house, around the garage, and he, like, pipe, and he had, like, even that weird curved acorn thing on the end and the flanges or whatever on the end. And he painted it all black, and it looked so badass.
It weighed 50 pounds and
you
couldn't carry
it. Yeah, it was an actual gaffy stick. So, like, I won every freaking Halloween contest I went into. It was so awesome. I got to lead a Halloween parade in my town. Like, school, I won the freaking Halloween costume thing and everything. And it was the most badass costume. And I kept that helmet for, like, years till, like, it finally crumbled and fell apart or something.
And you continue this tradition to this day of having other people slave on your costume for you.
So in third grade, this was back when I was in private school, and the school would have, like, little parades for Halloween where you would have where the kids were all dressed up in their costumes, and they would have the contests. And the parents would come, like, on their lunch break or whatever to watch this pageant take place. And my mother didn't really care about Halloween and all that stuff. So she bought me that cheap vinyl drugstore costume. And so,
was there a picture of a superhero on it?
I don't even remember what it was. But I do know that the next year, she decided that there wasn't going to be a repeat of that. And so we went to Hollywood, to a Hollywood costume rental store. And she got me this vampire costume with the medallion and the vest, and it was like all suede or velour or something, and even had the hair and the makeup and the false teeth. It was like completely and totally decked out. I ended up winning that year, and then the next
store bought.
And then the next year, she went back to the rental store for fifth grade and got me I don't even remember what I was, but it was the George Washington powdered wig with, like, a shirt, ruffled, like, shirt, Hamilton style shirt. It was crazy. So I have no idea what she heard in the stands from what the other parents were saying in the third grade, but from fourth, fifth, and sixth grade on, for the duration of the time I was at that school, we would go to the Hollywood, like, costume rental place and just get the most insane thing out that she could afford.
that little colored boy, boy, he really had a cheap suit, cheap costume. And then the next year, that's something, that would be my mother to a T. If she heard somebody say something like, I guess a black kid can't afford it. She would spend thousands of dollars in a real badass, like Darth Vader, real Darth Vader costume.
Yeah, she wouldn't dare tell me that, but looking back, that had to have been what the case was.
So that does lead us to a side bag, which I hate to bring up such a terrible, terrible topic, but costume contests and the specter of store-bought costumes.
Mm, it's like this, when those fucking inflatable T-Rexes win every year.
Hate it.
I mean, I love store-bought costumes because they're fun.
Yeah.
And they add to the atmosphere of the party. But when you have a contest and you reward creativity and someone's like, my costume's that I'm rich and I bought this awesome costume. And they're like, well, here's the first place award. And you're like, I've been working on this costume for 3 months.
You know, I don't like the homemade costume thing.
Fuck you!
So I was big into the TV show Werewolf, you know, the Eric Corden and Chuck Connors.
So no, don't know it.
Chuck so Connors good. Was the master werewolf. It was the best show. It was like the Incredible Hulk, but with a werewolf.
The Teen Wolf show totally ripped it off.
He would freak out and like slay people and stuff. It was great. But he always kind of slayed bad people, so that was good. But I wanted to be one of those Rick Baker werewolves, you know, like which has a long snout and kind of goes on all fours.
Yeah, werewolf.
Kind of like a gorilla outfit, basically, but with a long snout. And I found the right mask and everything. And my mom sewed like a kind of gray and black hairy gorilla suit because I wanted to be Scorzani too. Of course, I had to be the Chuck Connors one. And so it matched the mask. And we sewed a back, you know, of hair on the back of it to make it match and everything. And we did up my hands in all black makeup, and my mom put like long press-on nails and painted them black and everything on me, so I had claws and shit. So we went over to my great-grandmother's neighborhood, because she was still around and stuff. We just go over there to trick-or-treat and everything, and we go across to the bar to trick-or-treat. We trick-or-treated at the bar. She'd take the kids to the bar and everything. And I went in with this line of kids trick-or-treating, and I was a werewolf. I was a badass. I just got bold, and I, like, walked up and sat down on the bar stool and all this kind of stuff. I was, like, 9 years old or something like that. But I was head-to-toe covered in this werewolf costume, and I guess I had feminine-looking hands because I had these, like, whatever, you know, things. And the dude on the bar stool next to me takes me in his arms and dips me.
Oh, my God.
And fucking kisses my snout.
No wonder you are like you. No wonder you.
Why am I just not hearing this?
It was the oddest freaking thing, yeah. And so I just kind of like stumbled out of there. And
you
my mom was
like, "Walked
away
with your tail between your legs."
And my mom was like, "Yeah, let's go."
Something between his legs.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Great costume though. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little too good. But I still believe. Yes, I still believe
through the shame. Vampires, yay or boo?
Old vampires, yay.
Try it audible.
That was audible. Fuck you.
I mean, it was audible, but it was unpleasant to listen to.
I think it was amazing. So go on. I'm not redoing it.
Vampires, yay or boo?
No, we're using mine because I'm the editor, and you can eat it. My blood.
I like old vampires. I don't like the tendency to make vampires, sexy is okay. Vampires can be sexy, but I don't like the tendency to make them not villainous, not monstrous.
Well, they're that's not the question.
Oh, what? Just straight up yay or nay?
If vampires existed.
Oh, I see. He didn't say that. He
and
just
they
said,
came to Bleh. You... Do you think you could be seduced into the vampire lifestyle?
Dude, the girl who I told you about, her brother was watching Friday the 13th. If she was a vampire,
sorry,
I would be.
It's been cut so hard from the podcast.
You'll have to remember.
There is at least one human female who, if she were a vampire,
she would not be human.
And she asked me to become a vampire. I would become a vampire.
Even if you had to feed on your friends and family?
If I had to feed on my friends, for sure.
Hey, I think it could happen, but I think I would regret the decision extremely. I'd be a...
Oh, shit!
I'd be a Lewis vampire, definitely. I'd be like a self-hating vampire. Like,
Lewis.
Fuck. From Interview with the Vampire, man. Lewis. Louis, oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think I saw it once.
Well, I said it wrong, so it's...
Well, I read it. Give me a break.
Ryan, do you think you could be seduced into the vampire lifestyle?
Yeah, I'm easy.
Remember the beginning of Blade when they go to that party? If that's what the vampire life was like, I'd be like, yeah.
Damn. All three of you guys just...
Bloodbath!
Like, yeah, I said, but I would do it with reservation. I mean, no. But he had to feed on your children? Nah, I couldn't do that.
I'm not talking about, like, killing
them. Just turn them into vampires.
Yeah, just turn them into vampires.
They'd all be kid vampires, though. And
then they'd be... You'd have to have them forever.
Yeah, they'd always be kids, and then they'd come to hate
wait?
Me. I've know all the scenarios. They'd come to hate me.
Hmm. I'm saying wait until they mature and then turn them.
And then they'd be like, where have you been, father, all these years? Because I would
be hanging
out. Oh, because
you can't control your bloodlust?
No, yeah. I'd probably feed on them in their sleep.
No vampire can really control their bloodlust.
Right. So I'd have to stay away, and then they'd be like, where the hell were you? And they wouldn't want to hang around with me, like, if I waited till they were, like, of Arthurian age and came and claimed them. Arthurian. Come into your vampiric heritage. They'd be like, fuck you, dad, where were you?
Didn't you get the checks? I was sending checks.
I was sending the checks. Did you not
get Did you get the birthday card with the $5?
Blah.
Your mother.
Your mother must have been throwing them out.
If they came at me Lost Boys style, where they're always like, oh, there's this really cute girl you like. Well, she's hanging out with us, and we're cool, we're badass. Hey, man, can you keep up with us? Oh, by the way, we're young forever, and we can fly. I'd be like, oh, I sure do want superpowers.
Yeah.
And you guys are really cool, and you're riding motorcycles, and your hair's all feathered and fantastic.
Yeah, man, Lost Boys, I would have gone down that trail, especially for Jamie Gertz back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
Star.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the saxophone man.
Absolutely.
And with that, we blow out the jack-o'-lanterns, turn off the lights, turn on the sprinklers, and get those damn whippersnappers off our lawn for part one of our Halloween October Six Demon Bag 2017 Spooktacular.
Ha 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 ha.